views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from KKNW AM 1150 in the Seattle area. You might be listening on WBLQ AM 1230 radio in Connecticut, New York, or Rhode Island, on one of the 35 stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But I have to tell you, we've got a special show today. Wherever you're joining us from, whenever you're joining us, you're going to be glad you're here, because my guest is somebody very special who actually helped shift me when I was early in my journey. But I'm not going to say who that is, because I always like to have a little teaser, don't I, Benny? I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio, who does his magic so you can hear these conversations, Mr. Benny Mather. Hi, Benny.
Hi there, Christine, and welcome back as another show is upon us. And I'll just head it off right in the pass. We'll just get right to it. I just want to give congratulations to my boys. They finished kindergarten. They graduated. Yes. Yes, of course.
Great.
My boys with honors. You know how it works. Only the best of the best. So, my little guys.
Two little five-year-olds, too.
I'm so proud of them. They're ready for the big world. Okay, yes, maybe not that
indeed.
Far. Right?
Benny, yes. And eventually, they'll be 17, like my son, and... you'll be up until 1 in the morning helping them with math, you know?
Oh, yeah. They might be helping me with math. I'm still never not good at that stuff.
Yeah. You know, Benny, we talk to all sorts of people on this show, and I love having conversations with each and every one of them. But I have to tell you that when I began to sort of look back at my own journey and think about how our guest today touched my life, I thought, you know, if I had had this interview in one of the earlier years when I was doing radio, I would be totally, totally nervous, because he made such a huge impression on me with his book. And the person I'm talking about is Dan Millman. He is a former world champion gymnast, coach, martial arts teacher, and a college professor. He is the author of 17 books. I didn't know it was that many. I think I've only read 4 or 5. I got to get busy. So his books have been published in 29 languages and shared across generations of millions of readers. And his original classic, which was one that touched me so deeply when I was beginning my path, was The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, which was eventually adapted into a film back in, I think it was 2006. And he's got a new book called The Hidden School, which offers a missing piece of the Peaceful Warrior story. And I'm really excited to be reading it and to understand more and more of his wisdom. And to have him here today, I'd like to welcome Dan Millman. Hi, Dan. Welcome.
Hello, Christine. Hello, Benny. And I'm glad to be here with you.
You know, it's funny, because I think that when I read your original story, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, one of the things that touched me was the fact that you were sharing your own journey of awakening to spirituality. And I think for many of us, I think we sort of were getting beyond our religious upbringing. We were either, you know, breaking open the box of religion to sort of encompass spirituality in a bigger way, or hopping out of that box to look at spirituality in a new way. And it's really clear that your book has touched millions. Your story has touched millions. And you've got this new piece of the story that you're sharing. Why did you decide to wait until now, so many years later, to share it?
Well, I didn't so much wait until now. It was 37 years after the first book was written that I did decide it was time to write it. Or maybe it decided. Maybe it decided. It's a mysterious process even for me. My various books are like planes lined up on the runway, you could say.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
And I never know which ones are going to jockey in the front. But I guess I wasn't ready yet until a few years ago, to begin work on The Hidden School.
Mm-hmm. And I think about the subject matter within The Hidden School, and I think about what's going on in the world now. From your perspective, why do we need greater guidance and new approaches at this stage in our world?
Well, I think it's, in a sense, been true for any stage in the world. It always seems like, in the book, I talk about paradox, humor, and change. And an example of paradox is the opening of Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities. He begins, the first words, many remember, it was mm-hmm. the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Right.
So today, that's equally true. These are opposing, dialectical, opposite truths, but they're both true. And mm-hmm. someone could argue that this is the best of times or that it's the worst of times, depending on what they're looking at. You know, there's a saying, two men looked out of prison bars. One saw mud and the other saw stars. Both mud and stars are part of our life experience. So yes, in the political arena, there's insecurity, there's rapid change going on today, but there really has always been something that the Huns or the Goths riding through town and slaughtering villages.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, any time in history. But for today, what we need, as we need every day, is a sense of perspective. It's as if we're watching two little animals fight down in the weeds at the base of a mountain, and we're very upset about it, and suddenly we find ourselves standing at the top of that mountain, looking over at a panorama of vast, beautiful landscape because everything looks better in the distance. And you know that, I mean, it's a cliche, but if you want a better attitude, get some altitude. So one of the purposes of The Hidden School is to bring people back to that transcendent perspective where we can still function in daily life, which is why I recommend people have their head in the clouds, but their feet on the ground. So they still function in the conventional world, but also be able to step back and look at it from a larger perspective and take a deep breath and remember this is part of our process. It's going to be all right. We'll do what we can meanwhile, but the sky is not falling.
Dan, from the higher level perspective, do you feel that at this stage in our world that we are on the precipice of positive transformation?
Sure, that or Armageddon. I don't know which. again, the mud and the stars are both there, the potential, and nobody can predict. There are too many variables to really be able to predict accurately what's going to happen. But yes, I've felt for a long time that we are people. You know, you don't become aware just by sitting back watching your favorite video usually eating ice cream. Usually it's when we're shaken up and society's starting to check the news and read the newspaper and check out what's going on and examine the issues and think deeply about more things. And I'm trying to reach out to people in this new book, again, to think deeply about some of the very biggest questions that are the foundation of our lives, actually.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of those questions?
Well, let's just, one would be, for example, does free will exist? Do we make choices and we're responsible for those choices? Or is free will an illusion and we simply have been shaped and hardwired to do however we behave?
Right.
Are we separate selves or are we all one? Is death real or is it a kind of illusion? And those kinds of huge questions, yeah, maybe they won't necessarily help you improve your relationship today or tomorrow or make more money or have a peak performance in sports or something. But even if you experience those successes, they're temporary. And we need to look now and then at timeless wisdom that can help us move through all the changes of life, including today's, with a sense of more serenity and resilience. That doesn't mean we just sit back. I mean, we can be much more effective in doing what we can to exert the right leverage to help shape the world, even if it's something small, like calling a congressman or a senator. It can be small things, but it can help us to make wiser decisions. Now, as you know, The Hidden School is not a self-help book. It is a novel. It's an adventure story.
Uh-huh.
Just like Way of the Peaceful Warrior, but it still has that content we can get into.
So are your books autobiographical?
Yes, absolutely. Way of the Peaceful Warrior was based on real events from my life, including meeting an unusual old gas station mechanic who wouldn't tell me his real name, and I called him Socrates.
Right.
You know, as you mentioned, played by Nick Nolte in the movie version of the book. And so, yes, many things. It was centered around my life, that first book. Now, The Hidden School, oddly enough, is actually part of Way of the Peaceful Warrior. It's not a sequel. It didn't come afterward.
Uh-huh.
It is, but it completes that story. So anybody who enjoyed Peaceful Warrior, they've read maybe a third to a half of the book. This is finishing the book, but it's mm-hmm. It's a middle section, not at the very end. It shows what a real transformation, because rather than just this mysterious jump, it explains the death, rebirth, and awakening that I experienced described at the end of Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
So whether somebody's read the first book or not, or just reads The Hidden School, it works.
Yeah,
but
and it's a very engaging story, and it's so fascinating that it is true. And I'm not going to give some of those things away, but I've been thoroughly enjoying it, and it's totally engaging, just the way that The Way of the Peaceful Warrior was. And I'm finding that there are some, you know, additional and deeper truths. We're going to have to go to a quick break, but when we return, Dan, I'm going to want you to share with our listeners why it's important to not only be peaceful, but also be a warrior, and why it's important to answer some of those big questions that you were talking about in two different ways. More with the wonderful Dan Millman here in just a few moments.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-9000. 972-5366.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit saraluce.com. That's SARALOOS.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day I realized I was consuming foods based on fear. Fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Dan, before the break, we were talking about how your books are autobiographical, and yet, you know, is every event and every person in there, you know, autobiographical, or is it sort of a blending of things?
Well, I appreciate your asking, Christine. Actually, I only have one more book in me, and that book, the next one I'm going to write, it'll take a few years, is going to be memoir. It will
All
be
right.
the story behind the story. But the reason I'm mentioning this is because it's my first memoir.
Uh-huh.
None of my books are memoir. To have memoir, you can draw on your memories, but not on fiction. You don't create or make up anything. So
right.
my books have been a blend. My narrative stories have been a blend of autobiographical fact and fiction, including Way of the Peaceful Warrior. So some of my books, I just say, treat them as novels. You know, just enjoy the story and gain what wisdom you can through that story. So The Hidden School, I would not say it's a true story, except in the more cosmic sense. Picasso said art is a lie that helps us to see the truth. So I wrote a story to convey ideas and experiences to draw the reader in, and we all have a great time and hopefully some illuminating fun along the way.
Yes. Now, you know, one of the things I love about, you know, your books from the get-go is you talk about the importance of not just being peaceful in sort of a spiritual sense, but to also be a warrior. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think that's why people have gravitated toward the term, many people, obviously, mm-hmm. because I view everyone, you, me, Benny, and all your listeners, as peaceful warriors in training. And the reason I say that is everyone I know is seeking to live with a peaceful heart. But we also have to acknowledge that with the challenges and changes of everyday life, there are times we need to draw upon a warrior's spirit.
Right.
And by warrior spirit, I don't mean battling necessarily, though, you know, we could say we have internal adversaries like fear, self-doubt, insecurity, that sort of thing. And if
sure.
we can overcome those inner adversaries, the external world becomes maybe a better place. So there is that sense of battle, but it's really about rolling up our sleeves and taking on the inevitable difficulties, the ups and downs of everyday life and relationships and finances mm-hmm. and health. And
right.
so that's what it means to be a peaceful warrior. It's not an exclusive. And isn't that perfect timing, the sirens in the background?
It is.
Yes. That's why all of us need to draw upon that warrior spirit, even as we strive to live peacefully in the world.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I love about you're talking about approaching our own stuff, our own difficulties, our own challenges, our own, you know, shadows, our own light, as a warrior, is that it means, as warriors, we may experience fear, but we go after it anyway, as opposed to just sort of compartmentalizing it and trying to make everything nice, you know? And I really appreciate that about your teachings.
Right. It's so easy in the New Age, magical and wishful thinking, and everybody's a love child. And if we just mm-hmm. surround ourselves with light, we'll be safe and everything will be all right. Well, that may be true for some, but my background in martial arts leads me to speak softly and carry a big stick, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you know,
The samurai of Japan couldn't afford to be lost in la-la land, or they would not be alive very long. So there is a call. This warrior spirit calls us to understand reality and accept reality, even embrace it. For example, here's one example. We can, in life, in relationships, in business, in everything, we can control our efforts, but we cannot control the outcome. We just cannot. Anybody who promises great outcomes is deceiving you or themselves.
Right.
But by making a good effort, we vastly increase the odds of getting our desired outcomes over not making the effort. As Michael Jordan or Wayne Gretzky once said, you make 0% of the shots you don't take. So we can take the shot. Effort is success because that's what we can control.
Right. And also, don't warriors know when it's time to retreat?
Sure. That's a good analogy.
So it's not just a matter of pushing forward, but also knowing when to step back and allow or, you know, hide for a little while.
Well, look at the cat. You know, cats, felines are excellent examples of great warriors. The way they move, if the cat wants to go out or go in and you don't want them to at that time, they'll just stop, lick their paws, but the moment they have a chance, they're off, you know? Cats were actually worshipped as gods in Egypt, and I believe they have not forgotten this fact.
I have three of them, and I think you're right. Oh. So one of the things I really appreciate that you do in the Hidden School is you talk about some of these big questions you were referring to before, and you talk about the importance of answering them from two different perspectives. Why is that?
Well, I guess the simplest way I can answer that question is, I think your listeners would agree with me that spiders are bloodthirsty, vicious, merciless, terminator, predator killers from the viewpoint of a small insect caught in their web.
Uh-huh.
Now, many of your listeners might have been disagreeing with me until they heard that last part. Oh, from the viewpoint of an insect caught in their web. Well, yeah, maybe that's true.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, from your viewpoint or mine, most spiders, literally 99.9% of spiders are harmless to human beings. And we may not like the way they run, but we forget they're running from us.
Uh-huh. Right.
It's true to say that spiders are gentle, fragile, harmless web spinners from one perspective,
uh-huh.
and that they are merciless killers from another. So it depends how we're looking at life. And most of us spend much of our time, probably appropriately, 98% of our time looking at life from a conventional perspective, dealing with the duties and obligations and tasks of everyday life. This is the conventional world. We need to be able to function in this world, as you and everybody knows.
Sure.
And there are those of us who try to avoid that as much as possible, but yet need to function. And actually, you tend to be happier over time when you're getting things done. So, but yet, what we often yearn for, but ignore in many cases, we ignore the transcendent, that possibility of liberation, of rising from our limited tunnel vision and looking at life from that larger perspective. And what I point out in the book, and again, I deliver it in a rather, I think, unusual, hopefully innovative way. It's not just Socrates lecturing to me, that sort of thing, where I had in way of the peace of water, but it's delivered in a way to show that I matured and I had to become a student to the teacher and become a writer in my own right. And so it's delivered in a short, pithy way where people begin to look at these questions that have actually plagued philosophers, more intelligent people than me, who argue both sides of these questions about free will and the separate self and death, for example. And finally, I think for the first time I've ever come across anywhere, there's a model like relativity theory or string theory. There is a model I present where we can reconcile these opposing questions and understand how they can both be true, depending on what state of consciousness, what world we're living in.
Right. And, you know, I was very struck as you were talking about this, that you know, people are listening to an interview with sirens in the background, something going on there, and then sort of the human, you know, interactions going on, and yet you were talking about transcending and having this different perspective. So it's a perfect opportunity for people to actually experience it, like, okay, well, I'm hearing noise in the background, but I'm also getting touched by deep wisdom that you're sharing. So I think that the universe is perfect.
Isn't that perfect? And by the way, I hear sirens all the time in Brooklyn, but never this many, so it must be a really good sign. You know, many of us think, oh, the world's such a dangerous place, so much death and war, and we read about it in the news. I think it's important for people to understand and realize that historically, this time we live in is, in terms of statistics of how many deaths, how many wars are going on, and so on, is the safest or the most peaceful time in recorded history that we can come across. But it is. But the issue is that we're aware of all of it globally all the time. We're inundated with news about this death, that death, this murder, this killing, this kidnapping. And we forget when we wake up in the morning what is really going on in our environment, other than sirens, let's say. Birds are singing outside. We may be stretching in bed, comfortable, and then we're ready to get up and go about our day with our kids or grandkids or going to work, whatever it is. And so we need to remember that. And by the way, the media is not a villain. I do not believe media is a villain. I think journalists, yes, you know that saying, if it bleeds, it leads, in terms of things like clickbait on the internet. But the fact is, if we're sitting there, if we're sitting having tea, and your body feels healthy and vital and good, and mine does too, and then we share, oh, but you know, I say, Christine, I've got a sore elbow. Where does my attention go?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go to my left knee, which feels so good, or my ear. It goes to where I'm sore. Same with you. So what the media does is it simply, its function, it points out the pain spots on planet Earth. So maybe we can call our attention there and do something about it.
Yeah.
And it may not be pleasant, but that's how it works. It's not villains who are just looking for bad news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is fascinating. And I know that the wisdom that you teach is going to be helpful for people, you know, my kids' ages. You know, they're just about to get out of high school and just about to get out of college. And I think that because of what we're exposed to these days, it's hard for us to process. We have to go to a quick break, but more with this, you know, in this fascinating conversation with Dan Millman when we return here in a few moments.
Do you want to heal your body and mind? Your body has a lot to tell you if you just learn to listen to your intuition. Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio, can help you peel away the layers that are holding you back from living your best life. Tune in to Rewired Life Radio. Learn to love, heal, celebrate on Transformation Talk Radio every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Connect with Audrey at audreymichelle.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath. To signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is, sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm so excited today. I am talking to Dan Millman, who's the author of, I guess it's 17 books now, including that original one, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, and his latest one, which is called The Hidden School, which includes this book is like the missing piece from that story that is absolutely fascinating. You know, Dan, before we go further in this interview, I want to make sure that we tell listeners how they can connect with you.
Well, that's so kind of you, and to your listeners. I might mention, yes, that by the way, I'll keep them in suspense for a moment. I'm actually, this Sunday, I'm doing a virtual book signing, which is a rare event, which is really fun, from my little office here in Brooklyn, in Seattle at the Center for Spiritual Awareness. I'm pretty sure they're in the Seattle area.
Right.
And I happen to be doing it as we speak, you know, this coming Sunday at 10:15 at that Center for Spiritual Awareness.
Center for Spiritual Living, yes. So, okay, how do you do a virtual book signing? I have never heard of that before, Dan.
Well, the way it works is the whole room will see me up on the screen, and I'll be live just saying hello. It's like Facebook Live. I'll be saying hi, everybody, and talking for 45 minutes, answering questions. And then they'll get book plates. Anybody who got one of the new books, they'll be sent signed book plates that will be inserted into the books, and they'll have signed books. So I can do it in Seattle. But I am actually going to be doing a live book signing at East West Books in Seattle in September. And getting back to your question, anybody can find out about any of these events or a free life purpose calculator. They can go to my website to give them some insight into their life path. Online courses, my various books, it's at peacefulwarrior.com.
Yeah, I love that. And it's great that you're coming to East West Bookshop, because East West is the setting there, it's nice and intimate, but they can fit plenty of people, and it's one of my favorite places to see authors here in the Seattle area. You know, Dan, before the break, you were talking a little bit about how we can get beyond, like, the negativity of the media. But I have to tell you that for my kids, I've got one son who's 17, the other who's 22, they're trying to process probably a lot more than I had to process at that age, because they get exposed to so much of what's going on in the world, so much all these different opinions, so much entertainment, you know, over the internet. Do you have any advice for young people who are, you know, trying to find their ways in the world, both as, you know, humans working, you know, in whatever realm they want to work in and living their lives and relationships, and also being the spiritual warrior?
Well, again, they are, whether they would ever label themselves as such, and I know young people often, you know, one of the issues, there's our sound effects again.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not me this time, folks. It's not me, I swear.
You know, one of the biggest issues and troubles with young people, with teenagers, preteens, teenagers, who suffer from depression and all the changes of life and the confusion of the mess adults have apparently gotten us into and so on, is they take too much responsibility for the thoughts and feelings they have, and maybe sometimes not enough responsibility for what they actually do. For example, they may do something and say, well, yeah, but I was upset. That's why I did it, as if that's a reason or an excuse. But really, I think it's very important for teenagers or adults to pay maybe a little less, take less responsibility for what they're feeling or thinking. Thoughts and emotions happen to us. We right. don't make them up. They just rise in our awareness. They're weather passing through us, and focus more on what we actually do. So one thing young people can do is they'll be less troubled if they let accept their emotions and you know, the turbulent emotions of that age and their thoughts as natural to them in the moment. It just accept it, coexist with it. Yeah, it's a crazy thought or a depressing thought, and just accept it, but focus on what do I need to do now despite that. So if I'm feeling fear, but what is called on me is to do something that's scary, then act courageously. One of the most controversial things that I teach is that I don't ask people or encourage them to feel grateful or to feel happy or peaceful or kind or loving or confident or courageous. I encourage people to act that way, to behave that way, whether or not they happen to be feeling that way. And that, believe me, takes a warrior spirit. But it is a form of liberation, like behaving with courage when you're feeling afraid. We've all had that experience in our lives. There has been a time we've been afraid to do something, to speak up, whatever it is, but we busted through and we did it anyway. And the elation we feel and the power is in direct proportion to how afraid we felt. Cus D'Amato, a boxing coach, once said, heroes and cowards feel the same fear. They just respond differently.
Wow.
So for teenagers who are really troubled by all the things going on in the world that they seem to be inheriting, I would speak to them as well as I would any adult with those practical guidelines of focus on, yes, with all the turmoil, what do you need to do now? And then do your best to do it. And one of the biggest challenges of life is to turn what we know is good for us and so on into what we actually do.
Mm-hmm.
And the key to that is to dream big, but start small. Make small gestures in the right direction, and that gets our foot in the door. But in terms of technology, I don't know if you were referring to that, Christine, but...
That's a part of it, definitely.
Yeah, technology and just being lost in cell phones. You know, you sit on the subway in New York City and look around the subway, 90% of the people are sitting there on their cell phone, listening to it or doing email or texting. So we are evolutionarily, we are very young in terms of technology. You know, it was the Industrial Revolution, but technology has become so advanced so quickly. You and I can remember, there wasn't such a thing as the internet.
Right.
At least publicly.
Or even cordless phones.
No. Yeah, there were these huge things. Yeah, it could barely lift. So it's happening very, very quickly, and we haven't caught up to it yet. And eventually we'll learn how to use technology, but right now it's using us just a bit. It quick attention spans, and you know, that's why meditation or just sitting quietly and breathing as a discipline just for a few minutes a day can be very, very useful.
You know, Dan, I think that one of the things I've seen with my kids at certain moments and some of their friends as well is that, unlike my generation where, you know, I had a dream that I was going after and I felt like I could make a difference in the world, sometimes I feel like they're exposed to so much of the negativity and kind of overwhelmed by it through, you know, the internet and television and that sort of thing, that they have dreams, and yet they're sometimes thinking, but why bother? Or how can I make a difference when things are this bad? What would you say to them in that situation?
That's really an important question and a tough one to answer. You know, sometimes I read somewhere recently, because I collect quotations, I love quotes, and it said, the most important questions have no answers, at least no certain answers. George Bernard Shaw said, one problem with the world today is that the ignorant are certain and the intelligent are full of doubt. And it's so natural to have self-doubt as a young person. They're like out in the snow looking in at all the people having a feast inside. They don't know how to get from the outside to the inside.
Right.
And it's especially tough for young people today getting jobs. Now it's all free internships, as you know. So it is a very real challenge. We're going to make a huge transition in the next 20 or 30 years, maybe 50, but maybe less, maybe way less. We might actually have to begin not only producing a guaranteed individual income where everyone has enough to find a way to live, to pay rent, and to eat, and at the same time to find a purpose so they're not just sitting around waiting for their check.
Right.
And because automation is taking over so many jobs, and the baby boomers, of course, have a death grip on their job, and maybe some of us, like myself, need to step aside and make way for the younger generation, or at least guide them as an elder and give them perspectives. So all this is happening in a big muddle right now. So there's no easy answer to a young person not seeing a connection to where they are now, to actually having a profession. But you know what? You and I, you were telling me, you know, you're a mathematician. Now look what you're doing.
Yeah.
Many of them will be doing jobs that haven't been invented yet.
Right.
You've probably heard that, too.
Yes,
so
that makes perfect sense.
That's where faith comes in. And when self-doubt rears its ugly head, well, there are ways to overcome that. But I teach that at my seminars. I can't do it in the scope of an interview, really.
Right. Unfortunately, we have to go to another quick break. But stay tuned. More with Dan Millman here in just a few moments.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere, with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Welcome back to the Kristen Upchurch Show here on KKNWN Transformation Talk Radio. Oh, this hour is flying by, and I've got Dan Millman here. And Dan, you know, I'm really enjoying this your new book, The Hidden School. What is The Hidden School, and why are you bringing this forth now, and how does it fit into the way of the peaceful warrior?
That's the hardest thing to explain. I'll try to do it simply. I don't know if your listeners really care, so I'll keep it brief. But the fact is, it is a part. I mean, I have a trilogy. But instead of sequels where one book comes after the next, which normally happens, both Sacred Journey of the Peaceful Warrior, my second Peaceful Warrior book in terms of the storyline, my adventures, and The Hidden School take place within the chronology between the covers of Way of the Peaceful Warrior. You can read them alone and enjoy them, each of them, or both, on their own. But you can also read them where you read Peaceful Warrior to a certain page where I start traveling around the world, then Sacred Journey, then The Hidden School, then you finish Way of the Peaceful Warrior. So it's actually a part of that book. And again, you asked me earlier in the show, why did I wait 37 years, to write the third book? And I was ready to express what I needed to, and I'm glad I waited. So because Jack London said it takes a hard writing to make easy reading. Worked really hard on this. But I also believe that quotation that I use, a president once said, I use not only all the brains I have, but all I can borrow. And so my wife and daughter weighed in. They were both served as editors for the book and helped me shape it, as well as early readers. Because no author really does anything completely on their own, even though obviously I wrote the book. So it's been a great project. And I think the word of mouth will be strong on this one. I think people will tell others.
So yeah.
Got to read this. Good story. Yeah.
So what is The Hidden School?
Well, it's two things. It's a physical place, you could say, which I go to more than one hidden school in the book, as you know, in the adventure. But also The Hidden School is, it's hidden in plain sight. It's everyday life when we're paying attention. It's almost as if it's in another dimension we can almost see glimmers of. But when we start to pay attention, we begin to realize that planet Earth is the hidden school. It's a divine school. Daily life is our classroom. And when we pay attention, we recognize that lessons repeat themselves patiently until we learn them. We don't learn easy ones. They get more dramatic. But daily life really will teach us. And that's, just like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz had to find out there's no place like home. The reader goes through a journey, a circular journey, coming back to where they were and to start to appreciate not only life as the hidden school, but to appreciate through a death experience that is near the end of that book, a meditation on the process of dying. They come to realize the incredible opportunity that daily life on planet Earth involves.
Right. And I love that you call Earth, a divine school, because I think that there are many people who claim to be spiritual. They're in the spiritual community, and their perception is that we need to transcend this messy experience. We need to, sort of step away from it. And yet you're talking about it, you know, being divine here in human form here on Earth. Why is that?
Because I believe we're here to bridge the conventional and transcendent, to bring heaven to earth, so to speak, at least closer to that. So, yeah, I really passed through that phase of life imagining enlightenment, illumination, awakening as going to another place, escaping from the conventions and pains and aches of the body, escaping from the difficulties of everyday life, and just sitting there beatifically like the Buddha with a smile on our face. But really, it's about being completely immersed in everyday life, but with a totally different approach and attitude, a non-seriousness. That's why Socrates gave me that business card, paradox, humor, or non-seriousness. Mm-hmm. Recognizing life is a game we play as if it matters. Mm-hmm. It's a different approach we bring to life, and I do that as best I can in moments. Life is a series of moments. I have illumined moments and less illumined moments. So we're all here together. We're all in this together, training in the school of life, all peaceful warriors in training.
Yeah. You know, Dan, I think that there are plenty of peaceful warriors, people who've been on their spiritual journeys for perhaps decades. And for whatever reason, in the last, couple of years, they feel like they've been hitting the wall. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for those of us who have been through this most recent stage that seems to surprise so many people?
Hitting the wall can be a very positive experience, because only by doing so, like the kids in Harry Potter running toward the wall in track 9 3/4, they pass through it. They find out that wall is a veil. It's a thin veil. And maybe when we're at the worst point, the crisis point, as you know, danger and opportunity, that is when we're really ready to learn. Sometimes when life falls apart, Pema Chodron and others have written about it, but I have as well. Sometimes when things fall apart, that's when the learning is really happening. So, you have to let go of one side of the pool to swim to the next. So sometimes that wall is a great opportunity to say, maybe there's another approach than what I've been doing, and just opening up to the possibilities. And I think that really, conventionally, no fun. Uh-huh. But transcendentally, it's an elevator ride to spirit.
I like that, an elevator ride to spirit. Okay, Dan, before we end this interview, I want you to share with our listeners again about how they can connect with you and about your upcoming events.
Well, sure. Thank you. If anyone has enjoyed the interview and is curious about more, the simplest place to go is peacefulwarrior.com, and they can check out a free life purpose calculator, read about the various books, see if any of them call out, including The Hidden School. And there are online courses and events, like I'm teaching a 7-day retreat in Costa Rica in August, which is a super time. Everyone loves it. It's my 9th time back there over the last 14 years.
Oh, wow.
So anybody who wants to stay in touch can always just visit peacefulwarrior.com. They can also email me from there if they have any questions.
Yeah, and you are coming to Seattle in person in September.
Yep.
I'm very excited about that.
Yes.
You know, Dan, I wish we had another hour to chat. I love the wisdom in your books. I love the way you talk about this and how you're basically helping us to integrate spirituality into our human lives and view things from a more holistic way. And I thank you very much for joining me here today.
It's been my pleasure, Christine.
And I thank you for joining us here today. If you want to listen to this interview again, if you've missed part of it, if you want to share this interview with others, please go to ChristineUpchurch.com, the radio show page. You'll be featured there within a couple of days. Dan's interview, and we'll have links to his website as well. So I thank you for joining us here today and look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.